नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 एंटाइटल्ड व्हाट प्रहलाद लर्न्ड इन द वूम्ब टेक्स्ट नंबर 50। एवो सुरो मनुष्यो वा यक्षो गंधर्व एव वा भजन मुकुंद चरणम् स्वस्तिमान् स्याद् यथा वयम् देवो। ट्रांसलेशन: इफ अ डेमिगॉड, डीमन, ह्यूमन बीइंग, यक्ष, गंधर्व और एनीवन विद इन दिस यूनिवर्स रेंडर्स सर्विस टू द लोटस फीट ऑफ मुकुंद, हु कैन डिलीवर लिबरेशन, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajanas, headed by Prahlad Maharaj, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service. Whether in demigod society, asura society, human society or Gandharva society, every living entity should take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. Om Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Gauradeya Pushpavanto Chitraushandav Tamonadav Ugropyam Yatha Vayam. What Prahlad Maharaj learned in the womb is the striking heading of this chapter. So, somehow or the other, we have to keep in mind that this great personality has understood and assimilated all this knowledge within the womb, which is definitely a very wonderful achievement. Now, he's trying to convince his friends, his associates. Few of those are, they have some affection for him. They are ready to listen to him. And hence, seeing this opportunity, he's trying in various ways to convince them of the fact that the only process of happiness or of auspiciousness is to take shelter of Lord Krishna. And he knows that the nature of the asura mind, just because they have been born in a society of asuras, or people who are naturally, because of their psychophysical nature, asuras are, it is as if it's their nature to despise God. So this nature has been, either it is inherent, because of their birth, they are born in that asura family because of past karma, because of the inclination to have such a family, they are born in such a family. So it is either inherent or it is acquired, time and again being exposed to an environment where one is encouraged to follow the process of sense enjoyment. And there is no question of discouragement of God consciousness, because there is nowhere God consciousness present in such a society. So no one discourages anyone that you don't, please don't be Krishna conscious. In the family of asuras, generally in the society of asuras, none of the elders are afraid that our children will go to the Hare Krishna movement, because there is no opportunity given in a society of asuras where Krishna consciousness, even a remnant of Krishna consciousness is there, a spark of Krishna consciousness activities are there. The asuras are very, very conscious of doing that. So Prahlad Maharaj knows that the Asuric mentality, either inherent or acquired, will not be oriented towards hearing about Krishna. The only way some innocent bystanders or some innocent people can get interested is if we can show them that how Krishna consciousness is actually beneficial to them from their level of understanding. So the entire preaching process of Prahlad Maharaj is focusing so much that how every other endeavor does not give us, or any other endeavor does not have any hope of satisfaction. Till now, 49 verses throughout this chapter, very, very carefully, only occasionally does he introduce the topic of, oh, this is Krishna and he is our friend. The last shloka just introduces the topic of Krishna. He is the friend of every living entity. Even there, Prahlad Maharaj introduces Krishna as being the friend of every living entity. And therefore, since you are also a living entity, he is your friend also. He cannot directly tell them Krishna is your friend. It's too much for them to digest, to accept. Right? Like many a times we hear in Srila Prabhupada's interactions that there will be some people who cannot just digest this fact. Prabhupada would always quote this famous Indologist, a follower of a person who had done his studies in the Vedic literatures from Russia. And would say, just see, despite all of his knowledge, he cannot just accept the fact that there is a soul. He's done all his Vedic studies. And somewhere or the other, on every, you know, every literature, almost every third or fourth page, at least in every 10 verses, it is mentioned spirit, soul, Atma. And somehow or the other, despite his studying all of these literatures, this great, great professor, Katovsky, he's cut off totally. I'm sorry, Sudama Prabhu. Katovsky. Is cut off from this sky of knowledge or whatever. He cannot simply digest this fact that the soul is existent. There can be an entity as a soul with spiritual qualities. So such is the nature of people who are averse to Krishna consciousness, and when a compilation within the creation is made, an aggregate is made within the creation of a society of such people, they are called asuras. Vishnu Bhakta are what are suras, and Viparyaya, one who are averse to Krishna consciousness. Right, like the author does not even want to mention the name Vishnu or Bhakta. He says those who are averse to Krishna consciousness. Asurastad viparyayo. So, while introducing Krishna to them, Prahlad Maharaj is very careful somehow or the other not to agitate their minds unnecessarily. So very, very subtly he introduces Krishna, and here, just see, he is not directly telling them that if you take up the process of Krishna consciousness, it is so auspicious for you. He says, even if a deva, oh, now they are excited because the word deva excites them. And it's a challenge. Just like just being born in the land of India, or the neighbor next door, just their name in any ways excites. You just hear the word, especially those who are in India, you know, you hear the word Pakistan, so they get excited. Ah, this is interesting. Something interesting will be here. Right? Or for the Middle East now, the word America is very interesting. Anything related to America, they are immediately, if something is happening in China or North Korea, they are least concerned. They said second priority. But anything to do with America, immediately. Even if it is said that America is today just sitting quietly, they are also, oh, America, there must be something here. So the word deva, therefore he starts off deva and asura. So immediately he brings out the conflict, or because of that conflict, that is, he does not bring out the conflict, but because of the conflict, he catches their interest. This is very interesting. Right? Just as I was saying, in India, India-Pakistan match is very interesting. India-Sri Lanka is not so interesting. India-Bangladesh maybe never, but India-Pakistan, whatever it may be, is very, very interesting. So, Devasura, Manushyascha, and then etc. Yaksha, Gandharva, Evava. All of this, Swastiman. Now, he could have immediately just said that all of them attain auspiciousness, Swasti. But it has to be something very possessive for them. Vidyaman, present there by something that is very possessive. Now, man means you have possession. So the asuras have this very possessive quality. They want to possess things always. This is mine, this is mine. So swasti man, you will possess auspiciousness. Generally, one gets auspiciousness. But swasti man syat yatha vayam. You will possess auspiciousness just like me. See? So intelligent. He could have used the example of any of the 12 Mahajanas. Bhishma, just like Bhishma. And they would have really become very angry. What to speak if he had given the example of the Sanat Kumaras or the Brahma. So therefore he says, just like us. Just like us. So they said, yes, this we can understand. Prahlad, we somehow or the other find that you are most equipoised. You are always so happy. You are totally undeterred in all circumstances. Oh, if this can be equated to auspiciousness, and this auspiciousness is Mukunda Charana, by Mukunda Bhajan, it seems all right. Maybe you should give it a try. So, Prabhupada in the purport therefore says, Srila Prahlad Maharaj, by his personal example, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service. By his living example, he still is requesting them, please, this is very auspicious for you. In the Valmiki Ramayana, just after Sundara Kand, the Yuddha Kand just is beginning. The forces, two very, very opposing forces have gathered on the opposite sides of a huge ocean. Just like in Dwapar Yuga, they gathered on the opposite sides of a big battlefield. So Treta Yuga, the difference between them is two oceans. Now, sometimes I've heard this quote from, many of us have heard this quote from devotees, that in Satya Yuga, demons and demigods, or those who worship Krishna and those who are averse, stay on different planets. But in Treta Yuga, they stay on the same planet but different areas. Right? So we find somehow or the other the war battlefield is also arranged in such a way that there is a huge ocean, 100 yojanas between them. Right? And for them it's no problem. Basically, all they have to do is they are thinking we have to just build a bridge. That's all. So that's Treta Yuga. You can understand the extent of the imagination that people have then and what they can achieve. And Dwapar Yuga, they stay same relationship, extended family relationships. Right? So in Dwapar Yuga, the battlefield also shrinks. The armies come close together. And in Kali Yuga, everything is within. In every living entity, the battlefield is within one's heart, one's consciousness, one's mind. So here, these two big armies have gathered on the opposite side of the ocean with one intention, each wanting to subdue the other. One army is the army of monkeys and bears and other such friendly creatures of the forest. You know, some squirrels are also there. Some spiders are also there. They are also doing their bit. So there are other such friendly creatures from the forest. And the other side are the technologically advanced, highly equipped with all material facilities, the army of Ravan. And this side is the army of Sugriv, who also has Lord Ramchandra with him. This is Sugriv's army. He's brought his army there. Generally, we think that Ram and Ravan's army have come together. Ramchandra is an ascetic. Even in his 14 years, he never broke his vow of ever possessing anything, because an ascetic can never possess anything. Right? So he never had an army also. The army belonged to Sugriv. Sugriv is a friend. Friend in need is friend indeed. So Ramchandra was in need. So Sugriv Maharaj gets his entire army there. And they are all jumping and ready to fight. Meanwhile, Valmiki Muni describes that within the palace quarters, within his own personal quarters, Ravana and his younger brother, Vibhishan, are having a debate. And the end result of the debate is that Ravana gets angry with his brother Vibhishan and said, "Get out. If you had not been my brother, if you had been someone else, I would have had you killed right now. But just because of this relationship, you leave this place immediately, leave my kingdom immediately, get out of my sight." So Vibhishan, somehow or the other, with his parting words, he still tries to put some sense into Ravan's mind that your best chance is even now. Just accept truce, peace. But he's not ready to do so. So Vibhishan, finding no other shelter, he crosses over the ocean, 100 yojanas, via the airways, through the air pathway. Right? It is very interesting, when Hanumanji crosses the ocean, it is described in such great detail. Valmiki Muni is so very happy to describe that journey. On the other hand, when Vibhishan comes, because he is coming from the party of Ravan, and Valmiki Muni is also wanting to finish off this entire episode as early as possible. You know? So it said Vibhishan just comes. So maybe some foolish people will think that Hanumanji had to do so much endeavor to get across. And just see Vibhishan, he just did it like that. So he is much powerful or something like that. Maybe, maybe not, because both are devotees. However, Valmiki Muni, it is natural to describe the activities of a person totally surrendered to Lord Ram, especially when he is on a mission. His mission has been delivered to him by Lord Ramchandra himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So great detail, graphic detail it has been described. Vibhishan's mission is yet to be introduced. His mission or his purpose is yet to be introduced in the Ramayana as yet, in relationship to his service to Lord Ram, direct service to Lord Ram. So very quickly his passage has been described. You know, Vibhishan, the chapter ends, Vibhishan is leaving the palace, and the next chapter begins, Vibhishan is standing there on the opposite side of the ocean with four of his followers. So it is described that as Vibhishan was coming within the range of sight of the Vanara Sena, of the army of the monkeys, they suddenly see this. It is as if a very effulgent ray of light initially is coming towards them, then it grows big, 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 and then this personality manifests, and suddenly they find a personality as huge as Mount Meru, as if as brilliant as a flash of lightning has appeared right in front of them. Such wonderful description by Valmiki Muni, like a brilliant flash of lightning. In the night, especially when there are very dark, ominous clouds, when there's a flash of lightning, it catches everyone's attention. Whoever they may be, beasts, birds, humans, insects, even the amoeba gets attracted by the flash of lightning, because the flash of lightning is so powerful. Obviously, it is Indra's Vajra. It's not an ordinary activity. It's taking place. The Vajra is falling. Lightning bolt is falling. So Vibhishan, when he comes, attracts the attention of all the Vanarasena, and they are awe, doubt, apprehension, some element of fear, but also their chivalrous nature comes up, and there is this desire to be prepared. Something unknown is happening. So they are half ready, not understanding what to do. So this powerful personality comes and they closely observe him. They see that he has his wonderful features, this wonderful dress. And he's not alone, he's with four people, each one of them as fierce, as powerful as him. They're all wearing their armor. They are decorated with various weapons in their hands. Their ornaments are glittering. They're all glittering gold. Thus they present a very picturesque phenomenon there. Four of them. And they're coming via the airways. It is explained, Valmiki Muni explains, that as Vibhishan is coming, he appears just like a megha chal. He appears like a mountain peak which thwarts the attempts of clouds to bypass it. This is so beautiful. Recently, with a few other devotees, we had gone to Muktinath in the Himalayas. This scenery is so wonderful. It is a scene, something maybe for sense enjoyment, but it's so very wonderful. These clouds, they are so powerful, and there's this roaring wind. The velocity of this wind is so great that if one is not properly situated, one has not taken precautions, one can be blown away. One has to place both feet on the ground, and if one is not accustomed to being in such situations, one is not a regular visitor of that place, then naturally one loses one's balance. And these huge clouds with their arms outstretched, it's as if they are coming in full force with their arms, powerful arms like that, running towards the mountain peaks, and they crash against the mountain peaks, trying to destroy anything that comes within the path. And slowly you find the entire mountain peak has been covered by these clouds, nothing is visible. And then within moments, top shikhar or the peak of the mountain slowly raises up its head, as if the mountain is waking up from the slumber and saying, who is it who's disturbing my sleep? This is called Meghachal. This is the wonderful description that Valmiki Muni is presenting. Who is it? How dare you disturb my slumber? So these are powerful mountains surrounding, and then you can see this mountain, these clouds have been broken into smaller fragments, and they are saying, we are sorry, sir. They are all around the mountain, and slowly they disperse off. We cannot challenge this mountain peak here. And then they disperse. And then the next cloud range comes, rushing, the same event, and again the mountain peak sizes. What are you doing? And always the peak, many a times, the peak is always victorious. So this analogy is being given by Valmiki Muni. He appeared like a glorious mountain peak surrounded by these small fragments of clouds. Standing there in the sky, as effulgent as another Indra. His features, his arms, his chest, his neck was so powerful. They exuded confidence and they exuded an ability to achieve the impossible. Such samarthya was there. Your samarthya shali. And then he had his wonderful kavach, he had his dress, he had his weapons, and his ornaments were definitely of celestial origin. Vibhishan, along with these other four powerful persons, appeared to be very formidable there. And therefore, all the captains of the legions of the monkey armies came together. And they are wondering, what should we make of this? What is happening? This also attracts the attention of the king of the army, Sugriva Maharaj. And he gathers all his chieftains around and they are having a discussion. And finally, Sugriva Maharaj gives his final comment, his authoritative comment. The way that these personalities have presented themselves appears to be that they have not come with a very friendly attitude. Just see their weapons, just see their features, their appearance. They have definitely come to attack us. Therefore, we should be prepared. Hearing the words of their king, the entire monkey, the whole, you know, the band of monkey chieftains, they immediately went back to their own legions, to their own battalions, and they explained them what had happened. And when they heard what the chief felt, what the king felt, they all lifted up sal vriksha, the trees of the sal trees, their huge stems. Some lifted up whole trees. Some just picked up huge boulders from the mountain's peaks and said, "O king, give us the order and we'll this very moment finish off this five." Ready to challenge them. Seeing this situation, Vibhishan, who has been described as being very intelligent, buddhiman, he says, "Let us stay up. Let us not come down." So staying stationary in the skyways along with his four associates, he said, "Hello there. Hey, relax." He says, "The greatly sinful king Ravan, with whom you have a cause for some enmity, I am his younger brother. My name is Vibhishan. In Janasthan, he killed Jatayu and stole away Sita. He is holding the helpless Sita captive in his Ashok Van, his Ashok Vatika. Sita is surrounded by all these ogresses, by these Rakshasis. And she is totally helpless there. I tried time and again to put some intelligence into his dull brain by giving him good advice. Because I wanted to wish him well. However, he took my well-meaning words to be an affront and insulted me. He drove me out of my home. He kicked me out." Just as a man who is about to die refuses to take medicine, similarly, Ravan, who is being impelled by the force of time, Kal Sarpa itself, did not heed my advice. Therefore now I have come to seek shelter of Raghunath. Giving up my home, my palace, everything. I have nothing with me. Nivedayatamam Shipram Raghavaya Mahatmane Sarvaloka Sharanaya Vibhishanam Upasthitam. Please take this urgent message, take this urgent request of mine and deliver it as quickly as possible unto the great Raghav. Because he has come in the dynasty of King Raghu, the son of Dilip Maharaj. That itself grants him so many wonderful qualities. And he himself is a very great personality, a Mahatmane. But most of all, Sarvaloka Sharanyaya. He is the person who can give shelter to the entire world, to the whole creation. That is his very attractive nature and quality. Sarvaloka Sharanyaya. Vibhishanam upasthitam. Please tell him, Vibhishan has come to render service unto him. Vibhishan has come to do some service. He is begging for some service. He has given up everything else. There is nothing that he is attached to anymore. So sarva loka sharanaya. There is no other shelter that he has. Please take this request of mine unto Lord Ram. Hearing these words of Sugriva, of Vibhishan,
Sugriv immediately goes to Lord Ramchandra, to his sitting place. And in a very agitated state of mind, he says, an aggressor who claims that he has come from Ravan's army and now wants to take shelter of our army has come. However, this may result in the destruction of our army, just as an owl destroys an entire band of crows. So this is the introduction Sugriv gives of Vibhishan. Please beware. Remember what happened to the owl, to the crows from the Niti, what it is explained? They allowed the owl to come in. And slowly at night when they were all sleeping, one by one by one, the owl killed all the crows when they were least expecting it. Therefore, O great chastiser of the enemy, O Lord Ram, in matters of protecting one's own army and checking the progress of the enemy, one has to deliberate on issues which are favorable or unfavorable. In matters of deployment of one's armed forces, in the matters of planning war tactics and the deployment of spies favorably, one has to be always on guard and very careful. Such an action is always beneficial for one. This Vibhishan, he does not say, this person, he is definitely a spy of Ravan. And thus being so, he will penetrate our army and cause dissension and division. There is no doubt about this. Also, maybe, being very intelligent, he may keep quiet for now and slowly penetrate within our forces and seeing the opportune moment, judging our weaknesses in our defense, he may attack us and kill us. That is also a possibility. O Ram, when trying to take forces into one's army, soldiers who are friendly, soldiers who belong to tribal armies, and soldiers who belong to the armies of our traditional allies may be welcomed. But soldiers who have come from the opposite army should never be taken into our regular army. Right now in Nepal, this is a big question. What to do with all this? Previously, there was this faction between the government and the people who were not very satisfied with the government. They called themselves the Maoists. So they had a huge army with weapons. But now there's a big crisis because they have come into power. What to do with that army? So the leader of this party, he says, they should be included into the regular army. And the regular army general is saying, how do we trust them? Till now we have been enemies. We cannot just include them. It's not possible. Maybe they should show the Ramayana. It is written here. Proof, but who accepts the fifth Vedas, who does accept them as Praman nowadays? Very few people. Only intelligent people do that. So anyways, this is how. So you see how Vibhishan, how Sugriva is agitated. One point, he's saying what Lord Ramchandra should do. And immediately the next, but Vibhishan, this person also is very dangerous. Okay? He's very dangerous, very dangerous. However, you should be very careful, very careful. So he's oscillating between sometimes we oscillate between bhog and tyag. So he's going from trying to be careful to trying to be aggressive. Defensive and aggressive. Defensive and aggressive. This is natural. It happens. What do you expect when someone, such a powerful person, personality, just by seeing one, you remember Mount Sumeru. What will happen? This is natural consequence. So then he says, by nature he is a Rakshasa. And he also claims to have come from his brother. Definitely he should not be trusted at all. How can we trust him? His name, he is the younger brother of Ravan, and his name, he is famous all over the world by the name of Vibhishan. After so much time, then he says, this is Vibhishan who has come. So we can see how agitated he is. His name is Vibhishan. My dear Lord, please consider him to have come from the enemy himself. Oh dear Lord, who is expert in trading affairs and making deals. Do not trust this person. You see, in trade you have to trust the other person. Isn't it? When you do trade, you have to have some degree of trust is there, because there is some give and take. So he says, you are very expert in trading, in deals, making deals. Do not trust this person. He is untrustworthy. Oh sinless Ram, definitely the spy of Ravan. He has evil intentions in his heart. He is just trying to win over our confidence. And once our attention goes away from him, seeking the right moment, he'll attack us and destroy us. My conclusion is he should be arrested. In fact, along with his four ministers, he should be severely punished and put to death. And after, you know, finishing everything, now Sugriva says, and keeps quiet. It's over. So everything is out. He just keeps quiet. Valmiki Muni says, after having spoken such choice words, Sugriva takes the vow of silence. He becomes mauna. He keeps quiet. Lord Ramchandra hears everything, deliberates on it, and then says, By then, all the other leaders have also gathered around. He says, so you all have heard such wonderful words of vivek, of discrimination he has spoken? An intelligent person, when he is in a state of confusion as to what is his duty, seeks advice from his well-wishers. So therefore, kindly give me some advice, your opinion. So everyone becomes very enthusiastic. They all sit up. They say, my dear Lord, the fact, what is it that you don't know? Everything within the universe is known to you. But still you are seeking advice from us. This is your greatness. Simply to give us respect and increase our own glory, you are out of a friendly attitude. As if you are a friend and dependent on us, you are seeking our opinion. Therefore, in reciprocation, we are ready to offer you opinion one by one. In turns, we'll offer you opinion. Having said so, they agree and then they offer their opinion. The Yuvaraj, Crown Prince, Angad says, I think it is very important that one should deliberate and properly distinguish between the good and the not so good, I mean bad qualities, the guna and dosha of any person. And then one should see whether through association of such person we get benefit or whether it will be harmful. Therefore, let us see, if we allow Vibhishan into our company because of his guna and dosha, because of his good and bad qualities, whichever it may be, we may deliberate on that, whether it will be beneficial for us. If it is beneficial, let us bring him close to us. And if it is harmful, let us drive him away. My conclusion is, therefore, if there is a very big dosha in him, big disqualification, just tyaga him, give up his association. However, if there is a big benefit from his association, we find out that he is really a friend, then we should make him our friend. We should include him in our company. Having said so, Angad kept quiet. Sharabha, another of his intelligent senapatis, generals, he said, I think that we should put a spy on him. The spy must be very expert. Definitely, he should try to make friendship with him and try to find out all details about his intentions. And then we can decide what to do. The most intelligent and one who speaks very few but choice words, Jambavan the bear, he spoke. Ravan is a very sinful person. He has declared war on us and has thus declared enmity with us. Vibhishan says that he is his brother and has come from him. This is not the time or the place for him to come and seek shelter. Therefore, I conclude that such behavior of his is definitely suspicious. Mahinda, another general who knows, who is very intelligent, well versed in how to speak very proper words which can change people's minds, and also who knows the differentiation between what is niti and aniti, what are the principles and what are against the principles, who knows that very clearly, he spoke and offered his opinion. He said, my humble opinion is that since he claims that he's just a younger brother of Ravan, isn't he? That is all. Right? I mean, what is there to fear from him? He's just a younger brother of Ravan. All we should do is make him feel welcome, with sweet words comfort him, and very cleverly find out everything that he knows. Get all information from him. Once having this, then we can know what his intentions are and we can deal with him accordingly. Hearing all of their opinions, the greatly learned, one who can speak very appropriate words and always who's remembering the lotus feet of Lord Ram, the powerful son of the wind god, Hanumanji, he spoke. He said, my dear Lord Ram, you are the most powerful supreme personality of Godhead. You are full of all good qualities. You are exceptionally powerful, and you are the best of all the speakers and the intelligent of the most intelligent. Even Brihaspati, if he comes and speaks in front of you, he'll feel ashamed. Therefore, what is my position when I speak in front of you? Hence, when I am putting forward my request, my Nivedan, please don't think that it is out of an intent to be competitive. It is neither with an intent to have a debate, nor do I want to establish myself as superior with superior knowledge because of my ahankar, my arrogance and my pride. Nor do I have any ulterior motives to fulfill. Hence, kindly hear my request. One of your ministers has offered the opinion that we should carefully discriminate his guna and dosha, his good and bad qualities, and whether it is beneficial or harmful to us, accordingly we react. However, there is no time for this at this point of time. Why? Because if you want to understand a person's intent, you have to give him some work to do. And as he's carrying out his work, then we can observe him and we can understand what his intentions are. We can see his gunas and we can see his doshas, and then we can understand whether he is going to be beneficial or harmful to us. Where is the time to do that? And can we afford to give him some opportunity to do any job for us? It's not possible. Because right now we are not sure whether to trust him or not. Hence, the first opinion that this is how we should deal with him, this is not practical. Another of your generals has offered the opinion that we should put a spy on him. Where is the question of putting a spy on him? This person has come out openly. He has nothing to hide and has declared who he is and what are his intentions. What else is a spy going to find out anyways? Another of your generals has offered the opinion that this is not the correct time and place. I greatly respect this opinion and this has been well spoken. However, please consider my request. Vibhishan has come at the most appropriate time and the most appropriate circumstances. He has left a person who is inferior, niche, and has approached a person who is definitely superior, Shrestha. He has carefully seen the qualities of both Ravan and Lord Ramchandra, and finding Ravan to be a dushta, a sinful person, and Lord Ramchandra to be very parakrami, a very powerful person who upholds righteousness, he has given up the company of Ravan, who is an inferior person and sought shelter of Lord Ram, who is a superior person. This is not only correct according to time, place and circumstance, but it is also showing that this person is very, very intelligent. And as far as another opinion that one of your generals has offered, that we must try to understand from him through very sweet words and gentle behavior. However, if we send a person, an unknown person, to make friends with him and do such an inquiry, being an intelligent man will become suspicious. Why is he asking me questions like this? I have already told who I am. I have already told where I am coming from. I have already expressed what my intentions are. Why is this person whom I do not know asking me these questions? Is it that they don't trust me? And because of such doubts within his mind, these will create a feeling of insecurity and fear, and thus will make him very apprehensive, and he will have reservations to becoming a friend. And we may lose a very, very important ally and a friend. And hence, this opinion also may not be practical. And as far as trying to understand the intent of a person, my dear Lord Ram, you are expert in all these affairs. How is it possible within a short span of time to find out an intent of a very intelligent person? Because he can very cleverly. However, he can cover up. However, an expert can detect any deflections while he's speaking words. Any deflections, inflections of sound while speaking. And he notes that. He sees the behavior and notes that. As Vibhishan was offering his introduction, I did not note anything within his speech which made me suspicious of his intent. See how relieved and how happy, how radiant his face is to be here. Is such a person trying to hide anything? I don't think so. In fact, having heard of your glories, having seen the despicable activities of Ravan, remembering how you subdued Vali and you gave the kingdom to Sugriv, feeling bereft of his own family and his kingdom, his inheritance, and totally shelterless, he has come to seek shelter of a lotus feet, also hoping that you may return back his opulence. This is a perfect candidate for giving shelter unto. Mitrabhavena sampraptam natajeyam kathanchana dosho yadyapi tatsyat satametad agarhitam. Lord Ram, after hearing all this, he said, if someone approaches me with a friendly attitude seeking shelter, even if there may be many faults in him, I cannot send him away. In fact, saintly persons who give shelter despite defects of the Sharanarthi, of one who is seeking shelter, despite his defects, there such an action can never be condemned. Agarhitam. Hearing this, Sugriv folds his hands and wakes up and says, my dear Lord Ram, you have spoken quite well. Still, I feel that this Ravan cannot be trusted. Vibhishan cannot be trusted. This person says that he has come from Lanka, he has left his brother and now wants to join you. One who in situations of grave need can leave his brother, how can we trust him to keep with any other relationship? How can we trust that he will honor any other relationship? Therefore, he cannot be trusted. Lord Ram becomes so happy hearing this. He says, Lakshman, these words spoken by Sugriva can only be spoken by someone who has proper knowledge of the scriptures and who has served his Gurujan very nicely. Therefore, pay attention to what Sugriva says. And then he says, Sugrivaji, there is something about kingly affairs that I want to tell you. A king has fears from two kinds of people. One are his own kinsmen, those who are his own blood relations. And the other is the king of the neighboring country. Because in times of grave danger, these are the people who may go against him. So Vibhishan knows these affairs. And therefore, he feels that there may be grave danger to him from his own brother. Hence he has come here. Also, even they may be very good friends and have very good relationships as brothers amongst themselves. But just being a king necessitates that one becomes suspicious of even one's own brother. But here, Ravan has directly expressed suspicion on Vibhishan. Therefore, he no longer feels safe there. Hence, he has come to seek shelter of us. Considering the situation that when someone from the opposite army comes to join you, one should never take him. Let me give you some understanding. See, what I've told you before about the relationships, he's already feeling fearful from his own brother. But we are not his relatives. So from this logic, he has nothing to fear from us. Therefore, he'll be fearless. At the same time, he's desirous of regaining back his opulence. Therefore, he needs us. And thirdly, he's a very intelligent person. He may be useful to us. And most important, he has come here right now, which means there is a feud. There's a division in the higher ranks, the higher echelons of the Asura family. Therefore, it behooves us to give him shelter. So, since Sugriva is putting forward a logic from the worldly point of view, Lord Ramchandra is so very wonderfully giving him counter logic from the worldly point of view. Sugriva, hearing this, both Lakshman and Sugriva just stand up and say, "Bravo, bravo. Wonderful, wonderful. Such great speech, such great speech." And then Sugriva says, "Still, my lord, I feel he should not be trusted." This Ravan cannot be trusted. Finding an opportune moment, he'll cause us great harm. I think, Lord Ramchandra, Ravan has sent him as a spy. He has evil intentions. He'll just wait till the time we are not so careful, and then he'll attack us. He may even attack me. Actually, he says he may attack you, or even Lakshman, or even me. And therefore, I feel we should capture him. Lord Ram hears him out, and then for some time, he deliberates on it. And then he says, "Sa dushtova api adushtova. Kim esha rajnichara?" Whether he's a dushta or a adushta, what does it matter? Whether this rajnichara, now this is a very beautiful word. Rajni means night. So one who travels at night, or those who stay awake at night, or those who have activities in night, rajnichara. This Vibhishan, what does it matter if he's a dushta or a adushta? Shukshmamam api ahitam kartum mama shakti. Kathanchana. Do you really think that this person can cause me even the smallest of the smallest of the minutest of harm? Pishachan danavan yakshan prithvyam chaiva rakshashan angulya angrena angulya grena agrena tan hanyam ichena Hari Ganeshwara. Simply by the tip of my toe, great toe, I can crush the entire horde of all the Yakshasas and the Rakshasas and all of them. Do you have any doubt, O Hari Ganeshwara, O leader of the horde of monkeys? In the Niti, I remember a story where it is said that there was a pigeon who offered his own body to his hunter because he had come to his house as a guest. Also, the great son Kandava Muni of the greatly powerful rishi Kanva, he has given these principles of dharma regards to someone who seeks shelter. If someone has sought shelter, even if he may have any motives, but since he has sought shelter, to attack such a person is not appropriate. Again, he says, If someone has sought shelter and out of fear, out of some desire for getting some returns, out of insecurity or out of pride, one does not give that person shelter, then that person is criticized throughout the three worlds. If in front of the very eyes of a powerful personality, a person who has sought shelter is killed or destroyed, he takes away all the pious credits of such a powerful personality with him. Considering all of the situations, I have decided to offer shelter unto Vibhishan. And then Lord Ram, he quotes this most powerful verse. Sakrideva prapannaya tavasmiti chayachate abhayam. And Srila Prabhupada, he says, abhayam sarvadatasmai. The Valmiki Ramayana says, abhayam sarvabhutebhyo dadamme tadvratamama. It means the same thing. The understanding is, if once a person says, oh my dear Lord Ram, I am yours. Even if he is dushta, adushta, qualifications, no qualifications, if he has got ulterior motives, if once that person says, my dear Lord Ram, I am yours, I promise to give him eternal shelter, eternal freedom from fear, from eternal freedom from fear of all living entities. Ma suchaha, the same conclusion. And therefore, anayainam hari sreshtha. Dattam asya abhayam maya vibhishano va sugriva yadi ravana swayam. Yadi va ravana. Even if Ravana comes right now and seeks shelter, I will give him shelter. Vibhishana, Sugriva, hearing these words, he says, my dear Lord Ram, these are such well-spoken words. It is not a great matter of amazement, because you are always on the path of righteousness. I always had a feeling in my heart that Vibhishana has come with good intentions. And now considering how Hanumanji has judged everything, I think that he would be a great ally and a good friend. And he welcomes Vibhishana. So here in the purport, it is said that a demigod, a demon, a human being, a yaksha, gandharva, anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, he is situated in the most auspicious condition of life. What to speak of that? In the Ramayana, if anyone just expresses the desire to render service, sarva loka sharanyaya vibhishanam upasthitam, he just expresses the desire to render service, Lord Ram, abhayam sarvabhute bhyo dadamme etat. This is his auspiciousness. This is the conclusion that Srila Prabhupada concludes by saying, therefore every living entity should take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. As in this instance of Vibhishan taking shelter. And we see what great obstacles Vibhishan had to face. It was almost insurmountable obstacles in the form of the opinions of all of these great personalities. And somehow or the other, Vibhishan had, Hanumanji had some experience of dealing with Vibhishan. Because of that, Shwadopi sadhya savanaya kalpate kutah punastu bhagavannu darshanat. What to speak of a person? What to speak of seeing the Lord face to face? If somehow or the other a person has offered some service to a devotee, shwadopi sadhya, immediately that person becomes qualified to offer oblations in Vedic sacrifices. That is the good fortune. So on this wonderful occasion of the Disappearance Day of Sri Loknath Goswami, who showed this desire to render service. Loknath Goswami was sent away from the association of Lord Chaitanya within short span of time, never to have his physical association ever during the manifest pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, my dear Loknath, he came from Jassur district. As a young man, he came and took shelter of Lord Chaitanya. He said, "My dear Loknath, please go to Vrindavan. And find out all the holy places because I'm going to come." Somehow or the other, Lord Chaitanya did not come for a long time. So Loknath Goswami started following him around. He heard he's in Jagannath Puri. He went to Puri. Then he heard he's gone to South India. He went to South India. He heard he's went to Vrindavan. He comes to Vrindavan. And people in Vrindavan say, "Oh, Loknath Goswami, 2 whole months Lord Chaitanya was here. Everyone was in ecstasy. And he just left a few days back. He's gone to Mathura on the way to Prayag." And Loknath Goswami leaves Vrindavan to go to Mathura. And Lord Chaitanya stops him in a dream and says, "Please stay in Vrindavan. I'm always with you. Very soon the other Goswamis are going to come." So he stayed in Vrindavan. And once when he was staying at Umrao, the place where Radharani was queen, was declared as queen, Umrayaha. Because Krishna had in a place called Chhatravan declared his Chhatri, his umbrella of predominance. He said, "I am the king of this entire place that I survey, Chhatravan." His umbrella was put there, the kingly umbrella. So all the gopis said, "What is this nonsense?" They put Radharani on the throne and said, "She is Umrao. She is the queen." So once at staying at Kishori Kund, under a beautiful Kalpavriksha tree, a young boy, actually a brahmana, came to him, very beautiful, and handed him a pair of deities and said, handed him a small deity of Lord Krishna and said, "Baba, this is for you." And somehow or the other, before, you know, he was totally bewildered by Yoga Maya. He just disappeared. The boy ran away. And then he said, "Now I have a deity, what to do with him?" And the deity spoke, "Feed us." "Feed me, I'm hungry." "Clothe me, I need clothes. Give me a place to rest." So he took his old quilt, some clothes that he had, made a bag out of it to hang around his neck, and put the deity, Vinodilal, in that. Small deity of Krishna. And he used to carry it everywhere with him. He used to gather some roots, fruits, whatever he used to get, whatever he would get by Madhukari, and offer it to the deity and say, "Please, Lord, accept this. I am a renunciate. What else can I do?" And Vinodilal said, no, this is very digesting, very nice. We are enjoying this." And then later on, with the help of some associates, he established Radha Gokulanan temple. And then the wonderful episode of accepting his one and only disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, who became a great preacher, a powerful saint in a Gaudiya Vaishnava lineage. So this is the occasion of the disappearance day of Loknath Goswami, who also very much embodies this principle that all auspiciousness simply comes by taking shelter of Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Thank you very much. Shri Loknath Goswami Maharaj ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaura Premanande.